Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside, happy opening day. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
As, oh boy, have we had some kind of storylines already on opening day, and let me just say right away, the Aaron Boone watch has officially begun. Wow, 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 wow.
Wow, you're wow, going wow, back to the old, what is that, Inside Edition?
Wow. Yeah, a current affair, I think.
A current affair, that's it.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, and you know, I already got my dad on board, right? So my dad comes over today, and he actually comes over in the 10th inning. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. He was so mad that the Blue Jays scored the run to go ahead in the 10th inning to go 3-2, and he left to come over to visit. So this is great, because he comes over to that. He only lives like 2 minutes away. He comes over, I go, he walks in the door, he says, hey, what's going on? I go, one out, bottom of the 10th. He just looks at me like, you son of a such and so forth.
Well,
and, oh, two outs, bottom of the 10th. Yeah, three outs. I said, oh, boy, Dad. Yeah, I'll tell you, Aaron Boone, he might not be the guy. He goes, oh, Boone, I don't know what he did today with the pitching. And I go, what do you mean? You lost 3-2. What are you worried about?
They gave up three runs, lost in extra innings. How about someone put a bat on a bleeping ball in the 10th inning? Strikeout. They struck out 13 times in this game, okay?
I said, all
Merriweather came in and just shut them down.
All your relievers came in until the 10th inning and shut the door. Wait, I don't know what he's doing. So I already got my dad on. The Aaron Boone watch is already here. It's already. Wow, wow, wow.
It's 3-2.
Yeah, he loves 3-2. But listen,
I love it.
It's going to be June 1st if the Yankees are under 500. Aaron Boone will wind up
you.
Falling victim. But listen, it's there is no manager under more pressure. And look, it's one day, obviously, but Yankees start out 0-1. Obviously, the sky is falling for the Yankees. I don't even mind that much. The Mets didn't get to play today because they only lost a half game to the Phillies. Everybody else lost. The Yankees lost. I'm like, okay, if we don't get to play for a couple of days, everybody's going to be losing. We'll win by default. We'll go 0-0 and clinch the NL East by maybe sometime early September.
As I always say, you can't fault a good strategy. That's the mantra of the show all these years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't fault a good strategy if it works for you. The fact that I've used it enough even around the house, something my daughter is starting to pick up. can't fault it, Dad. Like, there you go, girl.
I actually did a hit with Michael Fabiano on his fantasy show earlier today. It was after the Yankee game, and he comes on, and he's all chesty going, oh, you know, with us now, you know, resident Met fan, blah, 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 all this stuff, and I'm waiting. He gives me this big introduction about how great the Yankees are, even though they lost. And I said, Fabs, hey, listen, I said, I want to let you know, I am here for you tonight, man, because I think you got left on base today in the seventh inning. I thought I saw you leading off set. Were you one of those 50 players the Yankees left on base? And it was just silence, right? And Steve Phillips, who we did the show with, Steve Phillips is laughing his ass off. He's going, oh, Fabs.
I've used to talk to Steve all the time. Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, no, just a crazy start, man. You gotta love the opening day theatrics, the hysterics. You know, the Dodgers lose, so people, oh, no!
Oh, yeah, sky is falling.
That are now, trending towards 0-162. What happened to the greatest team ever assembled? Meanwhile, it seemed like 4 days ago, Roy Williams retired. So,
right.
there's a lot going on today.
Now, you mentioned the Dodgers. There are two incredible highlights from opening day that, look, I always go back, and I say it probably three or four times a year. Jason Stark, one of the most sages things ever said about Major League Baseball is that baseball's been played for well over 100 years, and regularly you can say, I've never seen that before, and you will be right about it. We have two highlights from today that are gaining all attention and clearly for a reason. The first one, let's start with the weather-related one first before we get to Cody Bellinger. So today was opening day for the Tigers, and what people don't know is that pretty much every beginning of April in Detroit, it snows. All right. I mean, that's like, it's not even something that is a, oh my God, look at the snow. Oh no, it snows in Detroit first week of April all the time.
Yeah, no, it happens.
It happens. That's just the way it is. It snows in Detroit all the bleeping time. And it's like, oh my goodness. So the Tigers have their opening day today against the Indians. And Miguel Cabrera, who was in pursuit of 3,000 hits and, you know, staying healthy, you know, and justifying the rest of his $30+ million a year contract.
He doesn't have to justify anything. They paid it.
He goes deep for a home run, except because of the snow, because the flakes were so big, it looked like a Christmas movie. The flakes were so big, Miguel Cabrera didn't know he hit a home run. So this is what happened.
Waiting on a 1-1 in a scoreless game. First inning, swinging a high fly ball through the snowflakes and right. Deep, Naylor back to the wall, looking up. And it's gone, a home run! Got it. Miguel Cabrera slides into second because he thought it was a double. Now he rounds third.
Oh, my goodness.
And gets the celebration with Jamer Candelario and his teammates in the dugout. The Tigers take a 2-0 lead on opening day.
Tigers Radio Network on the call. He couldn't see it. He hit it to the opposite field. And I mean it. It wasn't just snowing like, oh, you see the snow coming down. This was like big flakes. Yeah. Like Hollywood production companies spend a lot of money to get snow to look like this in a movie. I mean, it was like these are like as big as your head flakes that were just floating to the ground. And there was a lot of them. And he doesn't know it's a home run. And, you know, for a guy that's hit now 350 home runs exactly, you'd think by the time you're getting into second base and the outfielder doesn't have the ball, isn't trying to throw the ball in, nobody has the ball, that you got to assume you hit a home run by now. I think you have to know that. But he doesn't know, and he has a late slide into second. It's one of those, ooh, don't slide. Oh, you're a big dude, and you're injury prone. Oh, no. But he actually has a nice slide, and then the umpire says, dude, it was a home run. Oh, okay. And then he gets up and goes around the bases. But I dig that he is already in sliding shape. Even though it was embarrassing, he's in sliding shape. That's a good moment for the Tigers.
Yeah, 488th home run of his career. Look at that, 2,867 hits now. He passes Harold Baines on the all-time list. But that photo, right? Obviously, we all saw the video. People started making it around. But the still of it will be up as a Topps Now card tomorrow. I don't buy a ton of those. Mm-hmm. That's a cool card. I hope they do a blow-up of it, too. That was fantastic. Because all the guys that Rolling Stone for the last couple of years has done a thing where they've gone around talking with rock stars about baseball, right? Because they a lot of... It'll cross over, and while they're on tour, hey, let's go see a new ballpark kind of thing. So you just saw all sorts of folks from, well, every walk of life just getting excited about, one, it's opening day, two, it's the beginning of April, it's April Fool's, and there's the visual of Miguel Cabrera. And the slide is, you know, just icing on the cake when you get down to it. Just fantastic stuff. And that was one of the first highlights of the day. And that's the beauty of it, right? Is, all right, a little bit of the pageantry and, all right, look around from the ballparks and how they've got the bunting out and what kind of celebrations they're going to have. The shots of fans coming through the turnstile, because if you paid attention at all today, you got to see most people walk through because they wanted to make sure, look, fans are back in the stands. And then it's like, oh, by the way, there was some baseball too. And here's a big highlight and a name you might remember. Look, he's still playing.
I'll tell you, it was great to see, and it's great to see Cabrera because, look, we talked about him. Look, the money that he is getting paid, he could wind up being the last guy to 3,000 hits for a while. The home runs, too, like I said, 350 now with the Tigers, 488 for his career. He's going to be the last of the milestone guys, and it's nice to see him off to a good start on opening day, and hopefully he can stay healthy because this guy, I mean, you talk about first ballot Hall of Famer. There was nobody that raked like him for the vast majority of his career. Unfortunately, he hasn't raked at all in like 4 years. So, to have him come back and start like this on opening day, it's awesome. It's a start, it's opening day, and he knows how to slide. Because, you know, clearly in the past with the Tigers, that would have been a situation where he hits a home run, doesn't know if it's a home run, slides into second and gets hurt. And now he's out because he slid into second on a home run. And that would be a typical Tigers way for things to go bad for them for the season.
No, for Miguel Cabrera, though, like it's, as you mentioned, right, 488, 2867, all the accolades. Just remember how young he was when he came up, though. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the thing. Because we always try to figure out, all right, wow, he's getting towards that. It's like, remember, he was what, 19, 20 years old when he came up with the Marlins all those years ago. And now, you know, guys don't get to year 17 like this, year 18. And here we are the last 4 years. Look, he's played the vast majority of games the last 3 years, but, you know, 130, 136, and then 57 of the 60 last year. And in 2018, only 38 games. So, yeah, the power numbers haven't been there. And it looked like it could be a tough road to get to 3,000. I'm hopeful we get to see it. I love big milestones like that. You know, as much as folks might go, it's longevity and poo-poo it, you still got to be healthy enough to get to the ballpark. And as I get older, I think I appreciate that more, because we see so many guys have those 2-3 years, like, oh, I can't wait for their career. And then by year six, not necessarily in baseball, but in all our other sports, something breaks, right? They have a leg injury in basketball and never get quite right again. Or in the NFL, you know, if you miss significant time, the game passes you fast. So appreciating it a little more as I got my aches and pains and have to do more and more stretching just to keep the line moving.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, let's check in how opening day went for the Dodgers today. Alex Teichert, do we have that highlight?
Bellinger with a fly ball to left center field and deep back to the wall. And it is off Tapia's glove, over the wall, and a home run. Now, wait a minute.
Well, are they going to say that a fan interfered?
Well, the Dodgers are saying, no, wait a minute. The fans aren't that close. Tapia went back. He leaped up. He had a long run to go. And Dave Roberts is coming out. So, look, that's got to be a home run, guys.
Well,
and the umpires, I think, are going to be looking at this one. And are they going to get a replay?
Nope.
Bellinger's still standing out on the field.
Yep.
The umpires are talking to him.
Yep.
Turner wasn't sure what in the world was going on.
Ding, ding, ding,
well,
ding,
you know
ding,
what?
Ding,
Turner.
They finally got there.
Ding, 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 ding. That's your answer. That's your answer. Cody Bellinger hits a home run to left center field for the Dodgers. However, it turns into an RBI single because Justin Turner, who was past second base, and the play-by-play was right by Charlie Steiner, AM570, Tapia, the ball is in his glove. Like, he leaps up over the fence, and you can see it hit in his glove. Now, this is what Major League Baseball players do. As soon as they see the ball hitting someone's glove, I got to get back. And the thing is, though, the ball just carried on and went over the fence for a home run. So Turner is just, you know, tearing ass back to first base. Cody Bellinger is in his really wide home run trot because he knows it's gone, and he throws his hands up, and Turner runs right by him. So this is passing a runner on the base paths, which you really don't see that often. And so you have Bellinger called out, and Turner gets to cross the plate for a run. Instead of a two-run homer, it's one run, part of the Dodgers' 8-5 loss to Colorado. But, man, I'll tell you, I think of two times in baseball history when I've seen this happen. One was when Robin Ventura hit that big grand slam home run for the Mets in the playoffs like 20 years ago, and they all mobbed him at second base, and he didn't complete the home run because they only needed one run. It was a grand slam, so he wound up with a double. And the very famous Joe Adcock, Harvey Haddock's perfect game, where he had a home run, and Hank Aaron just thought it was a double, ran off the field. Adcock passed everybody. Instead of a big three-run homer, it was a single and a 1-0 game. Or Harvey Haddock's had a perfect game for almost 12 innings. I mean, those are the three times that's happened in the history of baseball that I can remember. You don't see that. And here's Bellinger, who hits a home run, and Justin Turner just doesn't see it and goes back. You know, the one thing I look at this, Mike, as I go, okay, there weren't a lot of fans there. You could have heard people yell, home run, hey, home run, home run, keep going, keep home run, home run. Or if you're Bellinger, you go, ooh, if he's trying to run back, I got to run back. You know, I got to run back and stay behind him until he hears, oh, it's a home run, and then he can go back around. But it was one of those things where, hey, man, that's my home run. What are you doing? And Justin Turner just went all the way back to first base. I think that could have been prevented. I'm just saying. There's a reason why that doesn't happen that often.
But, yeah, you're going into your try. You're not paying attention, man. You're just, I got a home run on opening day. Are you kidding me? There's records and stuff people keep for opening day home runs. You kidding? That's a put it on the board. Yes. Look at me. Big swinger, because we talked about contracts yesterday, didn't we? We talked about contracts and numbers, and we know how it's all used. Does he still get to claim that one? Like, does his agent still put that in the big book of, you robbed me of a home run here? So I'm
When it comes time for because Bellinger's on that 1 year deal for $16 million. It's don't forget, we'd net another $1 million because of that home run on opening day. Remember that? Yeah, that was. Let me write that down. Make sure you put that because that's really a home run.
That was a home run, and you will credit my client for it. So, like, especially if it's at like 39. Hey, no.
What if he hit 69 this year? He's one short of the record. It's just Justin Turner all year going, dude, I said I'm sorry like 1,000 times. What do you want from me?
Inscription for the rest of his life.
I'm sorry.
How many home runs you hit? 69.
Why do you sign it Rob Gronkowski? It's much more fun to sign that than my name.
Why is there a picture? Why did they superimpose him behind you with a grin on his face? I don't understand.
I mean, really, because of the lack of a crowd, there's got to be a home run or, I get Justin Turner, you got tunnel vision going back, but there's a reason why that doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, but you're also on the road. So, I mean, you might have heard enough of the crowd screaming it because they're pretty good attendance there in Colorado. I mean, there are enough people going, no, here we go again!
Wild thing! You make my butt sting!
Essentially, that's what it would come down to.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. Just those two highlights is really all we need for Major League Baseball opening day. I'm not even that bummed the Mets didn't play, even though today is usually our day. Right? The Mets are the best team in the history of baseball on opening day, but they don't get to play because the Nationals have positive COVID tests. And look, you know what? Am I disappointed? Yeah. I would have loved to see the Mets play, but you know what? Baseball is back. They're going to play eventually. Yeah. Not going to play till Saturday. It's okay. And you know, it's just something that, if we live with COVID like this, it's a reminder that we still have to be diligent and still have to do the right things because it's still affecting sports. But, you know, it looks like it's been affecting it less and less over the past few months, the better and better we've been doing here in the United States. So I'm okay. Opening day is still going to be opening day, right?
Well,
we're still
but that's
opening day.
I mean,
it's going to be fine.
Even though they won't be playing opening day with everybody else, you know what? It'll be a Saturday. It'll be a full slate of games. So it'll feel just right. Psychologically, in the clubhouse, you're just going to have one of the assistants printing out happy opening day signs. Maybe you have a cake. I don't know. Maybe a nice spread before the game as they finish pregame workouts. But either way, the pageantry, the power, the excitement of Major League Baseball is back. Oh, I can't wait. Let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Joining us now on the hotline from a very snowy Detroit, which, hey, listen, if you vacation Detroit like I do, you know that the beginning of April every year it snows. MLB Network, Fox Sports 1, MLB insider extraordinaire John Paul Morosi. JP, what's happening, buddy? Happy opening day.
Happy opening day to both of you. I have just arrived back to the great state of Michigan. In fact, I was in Cincinnati earlier today. And I, too, experienced snow on opening day as I was eating my lunch, which was a pizza, outside. So outside, noon, snowstorm in Cincinnati on opening day. Snowstorm might be a little excessive wording there, but the snow was coming down. It was a snow squall, I think is how you describe it. But it was very interesting. Loved it. And, yes, the image of Miguel hitting the home run, pretty cool. Pretty cool to see the big man back on the field and still, as Mike pointed out, marching toward those 3,500 milestones.
And we know he can still slide. I mean, I was a little nervous because it would be very Miguel Cabrera-esque to hit a home run, slide late into second base thinking it's a double and get hurt and be out for a long time. So I think you kind of dodged a bullet there, too.
We take one day at a time, I think, when following the Tigers these days, when following Miguel Cabrera these days. And in fairness, the romance, I know Howard Bryant, the great writer, has pointed this out, that the most interesting time in a player's career is when they are clearly aging, clearly moving towards the end, but have just enough greatness left to give us moments like that. And for Cabrera to do it with the snow falling down in Detroit, a city looking for some hope in its baseball team, a city that, of course, has not won a playoff round in North American major pro sports since the 2013 AL Division Series. It's been about 8 years, and I'm going to wager that the Lions probably aren't too close to doing it either. So we're looking for hope anywhere we can find it right now. And the hope today was found in the very veteran bat of Miguel Cabrera.
Well, I mean, the whole mantra, JP, is go 1-0 today. I mean, that's how I live my life. That's the mantra of my beloved Northwestern Wildcats. And right now for the Detroit Tigers, they can print out the standings, and they are tied at a minimum. They're tied for first place.
And they're ahead of the Dodgers in overall record in the very crucial standings of the as they would call it the NHL, the President's Trophy standings.
Nicely.
In the President's Trophy standings, the Tigers have that vaunted one game lead over the Dodgers and the Braves, who, by the way, I will say this now to Mike and mention this at the moment, my World Series pick as of earlier today was Braves over the White Sox. So, to which I say, I'm sorry to all the Braves fans, because my my predicting is not terribly good, as both of you friends of mine can confirm. But, Mike, I do have the White Sox winning the American League. So I suppose I will toss the question back to you and say, does the fact that I picked the White Sox make you feel good, or are you very wary of my prediction?
Well, if Smith had done the same, look, I'm more worried about what he's putting the hex and the bad juju on me as opposed to the astute baseball mind that you are, JP.
Okay.
You know, I'm all for it. Jump on board the bandwagon. I would be remiss, though. I got to ask you this White Sox question because it's owning social media right now. The Eloy Jimenez signed jersey thing, have you seen this at all?
I will admit that I have not, because I've been in transit today. So feel free to enlighten me.
So let me try to enlighten you for the moment here. Because obviously with the injury, he's not going to play 4 to 5 months here. It's trending on Twitter, and the White Sox posted a tribute saying, "Here with us today, here always." And Jose Abreu was holding a jersey signed by the team as they lined up for the national anthem. And as a White Sox fan, it hit me all kind of wrong, and certainly for Twitter, well, the cesspool that is, jumped on it with everything they had.
It indicated that it was a little too emotional.
Just a bit over the top for a guy that's injured, yes, as opposed to normally when you would be holding up a
correct.
A
I understand that. I guess I would say this, that that as long as the emotion is true, I really subscribe to this theory, that if the emotion is true, that if the reasons for doing something are truly benevolent, that things ultimately turn out well in the end. And I believe that was not at all an effort on the part of the White Sox to trend on Twitter or to make a spectacle of themselves or the organization. They wanted to empathetically say they wanted their dear teammate to be with them on the field, even though he can't be because of this very serious. I mean, it is not a rolled ankle. I mean, this is a pretty significant injury.
Sure.
So I certainly understand those who say that typically does not happen for an injured player. But I think that it was done with the proper amount of respect and emotion. And when you're the MVP of the league, as Jose is, you can quite do almost anything you wish, my friends, when you're on the field.
That's a fair point.
John Paul Morosi with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. JP, okay, so we had opening day, and it was opening day for just about everybody. Mets, we had our Christmas last night when Francisco Lindor,
yes,
signed for $341 million. Didn't get to play today because of the COVID situation with the Nationals. Is COVID going to be the issue it was the beginning of last year when we started playing in August? Or is this going to be, hey, it's the one story at the beginning of the year, and Major League Baseball teams are going to have a better handle on this as more vaccinations happen and we continue to do better with COVID?
I am optimistic that it won't be as serious as it was last year, because the game changer is the vaccine. And we heard the story of the Astros this week stopping in Texas on their way to the West Coast to get the vaccine. When I was in the ballpark today in Cincinnati, there were multiple PSAs on the scoreboard from players talking to fans, fans talking to fans about the importance of being vaccinated. Clearly, this is a stark reminder to everybody in the baseball family and outside of it too, of the importance of being vaccinated and the importance of maintaining these health protocols during this delicate time. And if this outbreak inspires and reminds others of the importance of getting the vaccine, then perhaps around baseball, you may see players getting more proactive to make sure that they get their vaccine here in the days ahead. Because why I'm optimistic, though, is the reality that time is on our side. It's different than it was last year, where we were still months away from the publicly available vaccine. The vaccine is now, in different ways in different states, available. And so it's important, I think, that teams have that attribute. They are hopefully going to be able to get, from a public health standpoint, a day where maybe it's an off day and there's the ability to get a shot on the off day. So I'm optimistic, guys. I truly am, that things will be better, that it's not going to be as concerning as it was early last season. But it's a reminder that we are clearly not done with this yet. And that 85% threshold of the tier one people, meaning the players and staff, once that 85% threshold is met of vaccinated people within that group of one team, then the social distancing rules are relaxed. That's a very important carrot, if you will, to the players and staff to get their vaccines.
So as you counted down to today, right, the last week, your appearances, I saw the video you put up this morning, either a lot of coffee or just adrenaline pumping, JP. The excitement of opening day, and look, you're putting the loss by the Michigan Wolverines where they couldn't buy a bucket to the wayside. And it's so great that opening day came just, 72 hours later so you could turn the page.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. I was in Ohio. It was interesting. I was all set to be able to drive down to Ohio and say, hey, who's in the Final Four now? Who's the basketball school now? And that that opportunity was denied me. Michigan just had a poor shooting night, the kids played great all year. They really did. I think they represented the university tremendously well. Juwan did, of course, as he always does. They just didn't have a good shooting night, and they missed their last eight shots and obviously some key free throws too. So no one's fault. They just ran out of gas and had a poor shooting night at probably the worst possible time, but a great run by a pretty incredible team. And I will also say that on this opening day, we also had the first occasion of the year in which I was doing a radio segment and was asked about something that I had no idea about before, which was the Eloy Jimenez jersey. That has happened before on this show, where the question is being asked. I can't pinpoint a time, by the way, aside from tonight, where like the question is coming from one of you, and I'm like, uh-oh, I am not prepared for this question, and then I feverishly Google and find a good take to give you guys in the middle of the conversation. It happens infrequently, but it does sometimes happen, and that was one. And I appreciate you supporting me as a teammate there, because I had no idea what had happened with the jersey because I was in the car driving, and you did a great job of asking me the question and filling me in. And I think I did at least a passable job of coming up with a reasonable answer to it.
No, fantastic job. I mean, you're family. We're not going to hang you out to dry. And we fill in the gaps as we need to. Either that or you just start speaking in Italian.
That's right. Tutto a posto. Sempre pronto di parlare italiano.
You can follow on Twitter at John Morosi. That is at John Morosi, FS1, MLB Network Insider. In fact, people call him the Johnny Juzang of baseball reporters and insiders.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, he had a really good game.
Way to fill it up.
I got to give credit to Johnny Juzang. We've got a lot of listeners out there in the West Coast, UCLA fans and alums, like our great colleague Eric Karros. I wish the Bruins well. Tough assignment there against Mark Hughes' guys in the semifinal.
All right, thanks a bunch, JP. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next
week.
Love it.
Thanks so much, guys.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
Another awesome visit from JP. I don't know what he said in Italian right there, but we need it translated just in case it was something that, you know, we have to be worried about.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Greetings and welcome inside hour four of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, I got a tweet from a guy.
Yep.
Just came in a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, can you please stop with my best friend thing? I want to throw something at my radio every time I hear it. Give it a rest. Okay.
Two,
Jason Smith
three,
Show
four.
With my best friend, Mike Harmon. There, I rested for 3 seconds. You counted
you
to three.
Heat.
That was good.
Hey, let it out.
And my best friend.
You know what? That guy's kind of sounds like something from earlier today, if you'll indulge me. Mm-hmm. You know, we do overreaction Mondays, you know, week one of, well, preseason in the NFL.
Right.
Well, and then certainly as the regular season starts, not only are we doing MVP talk after week one, we start also doing, you know, oh my God, this team's terrible. Well, here's a call-in show after the Cleveland Indians game earlier today.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him. Don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitch is down the middle. He won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles. He hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show, fair weather idiot.
Happy opening day, everybody.
How you like that?
Hope springs eternal.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
There you go. He's the benchmark for what the season is to come right there. Set the bar high.
Day. Happy opening day. So, hey, you know, speaking of overreaction, you know, opening day here. I mean, not quite that, but that's got to be what sports talk radio in New York is like now after the Yankees lose to the Blue Jays, right? It's going to be, hey, I don't want to talk, you know, I don't want to say anything because, you know, it is only one game, but, you know, we lost on opening day, right? All right, so now we're looking up at the Jays, and we didn't score any runs, and Judge didn't hit, and we left a lot of guys on base, and I'm going to see this all bleeping season, and we suck now. I'm going to say it right now. I just talked myself into that in the last 5 seconds. We suck now, and I think we got to have changes. I know I'll hang up and listen, but really, Yank, we need some changes now. Oh, are you kidding? It's Aaron Boone watches on right now in New York, ready to go. The Yankees lose opening day. Oh, Aaron Boone watches on. Oh, it's there, Mike Harmon. It is there.
That's got to hurt your throat after a while. The curiosity is, you know, the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You brought back a team that, well, doesn't put the ball in play. Part of the problem overall in Major League Baseball, people moan about the three outcomes. 13 strikeouts for the Yankees, including striking out the side to close out the game. So, Blue Jays, talking about them a little bit earlier as a team that should be competitive. The Yankees, not only do they have health questions throughout the lineup, now you're looking at the, all right, how hot does that seat get? And we hope all good things, you know, for Aaron Boone and his health and everything else. But it's a, you know, the microscope is on, particularly when the Mets come in and spend a lot of money. Mm. You know, $341 million for a shortstop. It's going to magnify the battle in the back of the fish wraps every day. So overreaction central begins. I'll be looking for great quotes and calls tomorrow during the day as well.
I'm telling you, man, June 1st
if the Yankees are under 500 and underachieving June 1st, Aaron Boone gets replaced as Yankee manager.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
You lose 3-2. You didn't get hammered. And in the end, look, if a guy's not willing to put on some Barry Bonds armor to lean in and take one for the team to get a base runner on, I don't know what to tell you.
But listen, the Yankees, it's clear that it's, okay, this we have to get to the World Series. We've had all the talent in the world. Mm-hmm. We've had years of, oh, who's great? Look at Miguel Andujar. We can't trade him for Jacob DeGrom. Miguel Andujar is so good. We can't trade him. Brian Cashman saying, I got to walk around the city. I can't trade Miguel Andujar for Jacob DeGrom. Now it's, oh, man, we could have traded Miguel Andujar for Jacob DeGrom. The pressure is there, and Aaron Boone's going to be the fall guy. And it's, look, obviously it's one day here for the Yankees, and things could wind up being fine, but his seat is the absolute hottest, and he's the guy you got to watch out for, because that's going to be the biggest if the Yankees don't play well. And look, they're in a really tough division, right? They're in a division where they can cannibalize each other. We talked about how great the Blue Jays lineup is. Look, the Orioles are going to stink. Everybody else can start winning some games now. It's not like you got a bunch of weak sisters here. You have a lot of talent there in the American League East. And if the Yankees, if they're injury prone, if they don't hit in the clutch, if they have issues, that could happen really, really fast. And it's not going to be a patient year. It's going to be, we got to save things now. So it's going to be something else and somebody else's voice in that clubhouse to get things going. Because all the Yankees are going to say is, we have all the talent. Right, there's never been a question at who the Yankees have. It's been a question of not having talent. We've had too much talent. What do? We figure our guys out. That's never been the question. So when you have all this talent, you spend all that money. Well, who's going to get blamed? It's not going to be the players. They're not going to sit around and trade Gerrit Cole and say, well, we need other guy. No. It's going to be Aaron Boone. I mean, that his seat is so hot he can't even sit on it for the next couple of months.
Got to have a fall guy. And look, the Orioles have a bunch of young talent. They're going to be fun to watch. Will they win a lot of games? Probably not. But they'll be interesting. I mean, Mountcastle and some of the Roichman and some of these other guys that have come up. It's going to be interesting to at least see their development. The Red Sox, we just know for 19 games, they'll be a thorn in the side, right? It's, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and usually some pretty good games mixed there in the final balance of it all. But to your point, yeah, you've got a lot of talent, and they've tried to do the same things the Dodgers have in terms of these are our prize prospects, so we can't trade them without the same results. And the big guys that they spent the money on haven't been able to stay healthy. Right, I'd love to see a full season with Judge and Stanton together. You kid me? You know, if they both play 150 plus, am I banking on that happening this year? Hell no. The guys in the rotation, they're all great names, but they've all had some injury issues along the way, except for, you know, Cole not quite the same. I don't know, man. It's one of those for Aaron Boone. He's just in a bad spot because, you know, for him, they went 0-9 with runners in scoring position. That ain't his fault. But he's going to get blamed. Situational hitting. You've got to teach him up. It's like they're in their mid-30s if they don't know by now. I mean, yeah, obviously Cole had been shut down, you know, with his elbow, but all expectations are that he's a 200-inning eater again. So if you get that, then that at least solves one piece. But what about the rest of the puzzle in the rotation? I just don't know. It's fundamentals always comes back. What's your base? And when you bring in guys and heavy hitters like this, sometimes it just doesn't translate to go back to play small ball. They don't do it anymore. I mean, we joked about it before. There was a Cubs writer saying, hey, they've already matched their sacrifice bunts total of last year. I know it was only 60 games, but it's opening day.
Nah, nobody bunts any. Like, I can't even teach kids that I coach in softball to bunt. Coach, are we going to bunt? No, why would we bunt? We're not bunting.
You should. Get them on, get them over, get them in.
Bunting is an art that had its day and left. You know, it's kind of like Laserdisc. You know, no one buys Laserdisc anymore. Laserdisc had its day. It's done now. We moved on to something else.
Can I just throw one more rant out? Because I've heard everybody as we've approached the 2021 season complaining about the shift. Too bad. Learn to hit. Situational hitting. Placement hitting. I don't know. Just poking the bat instead of trying to murder the ball and going the opposite way. You know, little subtleties they used to teach. Here, go back and watch some of those Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn talking about the art of hitting videos that you can find on YouTube. Stop complaining about the shift. Figure it out.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. So we got more MLB coming up in a little bit, but I promised we would get to this NBA story because a couple of things happened tonight, and this is why the Lakers need to look at sixth place as being their ultimate goal this season to finish in the regular season in the Western Conference. Number one, because we see how well the Blazers are playing following the trade deadline. Norman Powell has been terrific. The guy's been shooting over 50% from the field the last couple of months. He is such a huge addition for the Blazers. And again, they haven't lost with him. They are right on the Lakers' heels. And tonight, the Denver Nuggets did not play a great game. Nikola Jokic did not have a great game, but guess who did for the Nuggets as they beat the Clippers?
Green wrap around down low to Millsap. He's quadruple team. Kick out three. Murray, and he knocked it home. Jokic back behind him over to Jamal Murray. Murray for two. Got it. Nothing but net.
There it is. Nuggets Radio Network on the call. Murray tonight goes for 23, 8 rebounds, a couple of assists, and the Nuggets beat the Clippers 101-94. The Nuggets are in a tie with the Lakers now for fourth place. No matter what happens the rest of the regular season, LeBron is still another 5 weeks away from returning. Anthony Davis is at least another couple or 3 weeks away. Andre Drummond, luckily for the Lakers, could be one or two games away. The Lakers simply aren't going to win enough games to keep these teams at bay. They've gotten better. They are rising. And that's why sixth place is about where the Lakers should say, all right, let's aspire to finish there because we can stay out of the play-in games at 7, 8, 9, 10. We're in the playoffs to worry about one game, somebody getting hot, and we lose. But really, sixth place is about the high point where you could say, where can the Lakers aspire to finish? Six is about it. I mean, you got to hold off a couple of the teams. I think they can, but sixth place is about where I expect the Lakers to go in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a difficult proposition. Schedule's not fun. I mean, seven straight road games. And you mentioned Denver. They had all five of their starters tonight finished with at least 14 points. Jamal Murray, everybody remembers him from the bubble. He's quietly having a great year because we've talked about Jokic a bunch. Go and look at what he and, since he's been healthy, Michael Porter Jr. have been doing. Danger Will Robinson, the Blazers, strong. Mavericks, well, you just want to get some run out of Porzingis. The Spurs are good. Not great. I wanted to call them the Spores.
The Spores.
Yeah. And then, you know, Memphis, young. But do they get Jackson back for the stretch?
Right.
If he wins a couple of games, suddenly he makes something interesting. The Warriors, they're not healthy. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, Drummond's not going to play tomorrow, right? I mean, yeah. After losing his toenail, they say he's going to be with them. And in theory, you know, he's not going to miss tremendous amount of time. But, you know, every game becomes a hand-wringing experience because you don't have a lot of ground, right? You're talking about being 6.5 from the Jazz and just 5 games from getting down to the 8th spot. That could definitely happen in the next 4 to 5 weeks. And that gives you only a 2-week sprint with what's left on the schedule for LeBron and whoever's available at that point to right the ship. I tell you, tough road to hoe.
You actually said ship, and it's an actual ship. You got it right, buddy. Yeah. You said ship.
No,
it's an
I like. Well, I mean,
you can write
because he's got to be back to right the ship so mm-hmm. that they can go out and invade like a pirate a bigger ship. And win the ship.
Here's a ship. We're going to take a bigger ship. Oh, that's how it works. All right, got it. Twitter at How About a Fresca.
You know, boat can be anything, but if it's a ship, it's imposing.